Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. I think we're going to get back into Genesis chapter 40, probably on Wednesday night, and then back into Psalms next Sunday, since we'll be in Psalm chapter 22. Probably hit that for main service with the cadets back. So just so you can be thinking that way, praying that way. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's pray again before we read. Father, I thank you again for the folks that you brought in this morning, Lord, with the visitors and unexpected that you drew them in, and just thank you for that, and the other college students, and for the Bible study and everything that you're doing there, God. We just thank you and give you the honor and the glory for it. Would you please come in here tonight and speak to the people that are here? God, by your grace, I believe this is kind of an important subject that you hold dear to your heart. So please bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 1. Paul says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Then he says, "Moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful." And I know this is probably the preaching to the choir, Sunday night crowd, but talking about faithfulness, but I think it's something that we need to be reminded of. Not just to be that way, but if we are that way and why we need to stay that way. And this was kind of going to be a follow-up message from what I had ready for this morning, but I'll maybe use that at a different time. But he said there, moreover, it is required in stewards. And this is not talking about stewards of God's money. He said there, they are stewards of the mysteries of God, talking about the gospel, those that are serving the Lord, those that are trying to live for the Lord. And he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I've said this before, but I always find it interesting that he didn't say it's required in stewards that a man be found successful. Because we're not always successful. We're not always successful in the Christian life. We're not always successful in giving out the gospel or anything that you strive to do as a Christian. But he says you need to be faithful. So don't get discouraged when you're not successful. Don't get discouraged when, you know, last year we tried to start the Bible study at the college. And I think we tried starting in October, I think, last year. And I went every week. And you know how many people showed up? Zero. But that's fine. Whatever reason God did that, that's okay. But God never said we had to be successful. Now, we want to be. We want to be successful in witnessing. We want to be successful in serving the Lord. But you think about Jeremiah's ministry in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, how many people did Jeremiah get, in a sense, converted? Maybe two. Obadiah, you know, the guy that helped him lower the rags down in there, pulled him up out of the prison. And there's like maybe two people in all of Jeremiah's ministry. How about Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and preached for decade after decade after decade? You see, how many people did he get saved? Just his three sons, their wives, and his wife. That was it. Nobody else got on the ark. People would say Noah was a miserable failure, you know, as a preacher. Because he didn't have the big crowds. He didn't have people thronging to him. And he preached longer than any. He had a longer ministry than any other person on the face of the earth. Okay? And yet, Noah got eight people, including himself, onto the ark. And so he'd say, well, he wasn't successful. But you know what Noah was? Noah was faithful. And God honored that. And so, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So don't get discouraged. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 12. We're just going to do a little bit of a word study tonight in the Bible, and I hope it is a blessing to you and feed your heart. Psalm chapter 12. Now, what we heard this morning was a little more feeding the mind, both in Sunday school and main service, but so tonight we'll get to the heart. Psalm chapter 12, and look down there at verse 1. Psalm chapter 12 and verse 1. I got to get there. He says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Now, this is David. And in David's days, you know what David said he was seeing? He said, there's less and less faithful people among the children of men. And we were just discussing this after church. I was talking to Steve Leese. And, you know, he said, "I'm 65. He said, "I'd like to retire sometime." And Jason's probably ready to take over the business. But Steve said, "We can't find anybody to help us." I mean, there's plenty of work out there. Matt knows there's plenty of work in that kind of, you know, the HVAC, the heating, ventilation, air conditioning type business. But he said, you find somebody, and he said, most of the time they don't want to stick around. He said, they don't want to be faithful to the job. And, you know, sometimes it's hard work, sometimes it's long hours, but he said they struggle in finding somebody that's faithful. And David said here, he said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And I think we see that today, not just in the churches. I'm not talking about just church attendance. I'm not trying to beat that drum anything, but we see them, the faithful fail in almost every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. Businesses have a higher turnover rate today than they ever did before. Dean sees that, and it's not just because of Dean. Okay, we see the same thing at our work. We see high turnover. I was telling somebody that we used to be able to advertise a position out there at the plant, and we'd get 10 or 15 applicants for one position. Now we advertise a position, and it might be a couple months before we get two or three applicants, and they might be, you know, a little sketchy. And usually when you start doing the testing, the required testing before, they fail and you can't hire them anyway. But it's very hard. And then the ones that you find, okay, this guy's going to work out, you hire him, he stays on for 2-3 months, and they're gone. I mean, how many, just Dan, how long have you worked out there?
14 years.
14 years. So in 14 years, okay, how many people would you say estimated in the production area have changed? Probably more than 50. More than 50 in 14 years. Now, when I started there, just a couple years before Dan, there were guys there that had been there 40-plus years, over 40 years at that one facility. And just in the last 14 years, we've had a turnover of 30 to 50, maybe even more than that. I mean, I've seen, you know, 5 or 6 different plant managers, different managers in different departments. You say, why is that? And it's not always those persons' fault, but a lot of times it's just people aren't faithful to anything. I remember Dean had a guy that worked for him, and he said, I'm just here until I can find the next best thing. That was kind of what he said. And he didn't care about doing a good job. He didn't care about being faithful because he said, this is just a stepping stone for me. And the faithful fail from among the children of men. And listen, it's not just a millennial problem, okay? It's not just among Gen Z or anything like that. It's just across the board, people are not faithful to much of anything today. It's very hard to find somebody that's faithful, but it is important. And there were faithful people in the Bible. Turn to Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers in chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Now the word really, I mean, in comparison of the size of the Bible, the word faithful or faithfulness, it only shows up about, I think, 105 times in the Bible, Numbers chapter 12. But there's a lot to say about it where it does show up. Numbers chapter 12, and look down at verse 7, Numbers 12, 7. The Holy Spirit says here, my servant, God saying, my servant Moses is not so, like the previous description, is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. God said Moses was a faithful man. Now, Moses, he went through some things, but Moses was faithful. He stuck it out. Most people today, you know, wouldn't stick it out with some of the things that Moses went through. And I thought it was good. If you missed the Wednesday night that Nathaniel Hudson was here and kind of gave his update, I recommend you go on Sermon Audio and listen to his update and the message he gave. It was great. But he was talking about all the things he went through because he hit Brazil right in the midst of COVID and just the hassle he went through. A lot of people would say, I am done. Maybe, God, this is your sign that I shouldn't be a missionary. You listen to it. It's pretty amazing that he spent 2 years just trying to get his visa certified, I think it was. And this guy said, oh, you take this paperwork and you take it to the town you're going to. And they said, we don't honor that paperwork. And then he had to go back and forth to all and about 4 or 5 different times. Trying to get it certified, and yet he stuck it out, and I believe God's blessing him, and they're getting a new church started in a town near there, but he's faithful, and God honors that faithfulness. Moses has mentioned the same thing again. You don't need to look there, but in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. Now turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. You look at some of these great people in the Bible. Not necessarily all of them, but a lot of them are connected with faithfulness. 1 Samuel chapter 22. You think about, I don't think I have him down here, but Gideon. Gideon considered himself a coward because he was there in the threshing floor and he was hiding wheat from, I think, the Midianites. And so he was hiding wheat from the enemies. And here comes the angel and he says, hey, thou mighty man of valor. You know, but you know what he was doing? He was being faithful. He's trying to do something, even though he didn't think he was doing much, and he thought, man, I'm not a mighty man of valor. God saw what he was doing, saw that he was busy, saw that he was faithful in what he was doing, and God used Gideon to bring a great victory to the nation of Israel. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 22, 1 Samuel 22, and look at verse 14. It says, then Ahimelech answered the king. He's answering King Saul. This is where King Saul is hunting David, and he comes to Ahimelech the priest, and, you know, he wants David's head, and he basically tells Ahimelech that. And Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Ahimelech said David was a faithful man. And if you look back at all the studies that we've done of David's life and how David's life was threatened and how David, no, none of us would work for a boss like that. We would be done. And even if it was a father-in-law, I'd be thinking, man, I married the wrong family. It does matter who you marry. But listen, David stayed faithful to serving Saul and to honoring the office of king, even though he knew he was to be the next king. And all of that, David stayed faithful. And Ahimelech said, who's faithful in all thine house, Saul, is David. David stayed faithful. And David, God used David. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Just looking at some examples of some faithful people in the Bible. And they're well-known people. We're going to look at David, Daniel, Abraham, some of the priests, and, of course, the most faithful person, the Lord. Daniel chapter 6, Daniel 6. And look at verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, over the princes, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. You say, man, I'd like a position like that. Well, look at verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. You know why the enemies that came against Daniel couldn't find anything wrong with him? Because he was just a faithful man. He just stuck it out. He served under a number of kings, and he was faithful. He said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do and just be faithful in that. And yet God used Daniel throughout those different kingdoms, and they couldn't find anything against Daniel because he was faithful. Now listen, I've known people that they were the ID10T type people. You ever heard that? ID10T? Spell out ID, I0T. Okay, it's just a coded way of saying idiot. All right, so I've known some people that were like that, but you know what? They were faithful. And I would prefer a faithful man who maybe doesn't know much or is a little off kilter over someone who thinks they know everything and tries, you know, but a faithful man. God holds that in high regard of someone who is faithful. Now, I understand there's some positions or jobs where you're like, well, you're really not qualified. But somebody who's faithful and will stick it out and is willing to learn is worth a lot of money, right, Dean? I mean, if they have the capacity to learn, they're willing to learn. And they come there, and they're just faithful. They're there when you need them to be. They show up on time. They don't leave until it's time to leave, and they're faithful. That's somebody you can use, and you can mold, and you can shape. And you see that all through the Bible. God used Moses, and Moses was faithful. Was Moses necessarily the most willing person? Not all the time. Moses had some problems in his life, but he was faithful. David, same thing. David had all kinds of problems in his life, but he was faithful. Daniel, here's somebody that was an orphan taken into the enemy's land, but Daniel was faithful. And from that young age, because he was faithful, God used him and raised him up within those various kingdoms. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, back to the left there. Nehemiah chapter 9. But just faithfulness. You know, if you could have a goal in your life, at your job, at school, wherever it might be, if you have one goal, faithfulness would be a good goal to strive for. I just want to be faithful in my studies. I want to be faithful in my family. I want to be faithful at my job. And if you can strive for that and you can accomplish that, you will have done a great thing just to be faithful. Nehemiah chapter 9, and look at verse 7. He says, Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, and he goes on there. But it's talking about Abraham, and we even mentioned him this morning, and Abraham's great faith, but he found Abraham faithful. Yeah, Abraham had some things he did wrong as well, but Abraham was faithful, and God used him to be the father of many nations, and he was the patriarch of Israel. Turn over to Isaiah 49 now. Let's go ahead and skip over there. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, and then look at verse 7. Isaiah 49, 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is what? Faithful. And the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. So God even calls himself faithful. And of course, it's not bragging or boasting. It is rightfully so. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I am thankful, and we're going to see it here in a minute. I am thankful for the Lord's faithfulness. Because you think in the matter of salvation, and I use this verse often with the cadets because of the questions that come up, even at the college Bible study. You know, they always say, well, what if I get in a horrible accident and I get, you know, brain damage and I don't want to believe in God again? Or I decide that I want to become an atheist. I say, too bad. Because if you're saved, if you're genuinely saved, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth what? Faithful. He cannot deny himself. I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that when we're not faithful, God is. That God maintains his faithfulness. We're up and down. We're hot and cold sometimes. Sometimes we're lukewarm and we're in and out. Sometimes we want to serve God. Sometimes we don't. But God's never like, I want to keep you saved. I kind of don't want to keep you saved. God's not like that. God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so just being faithful to the Lord means a lot to him. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 19. It says, Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So God is faithful. That's why we sing the song, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. God is faithful. God is not going to take something away that he gave us freely. God is a faithful Creator. He is a faithful God. Let's look at it one more place. 1 John, well, you don't need to go there. We quoted it. Matt quoted it this morning. It says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, listen, that's not a lucky rabbit's foot, and it's not something we should say, well, I'm going to go sin because I know God will forgive me. He knows the intent of our heart, but God is faithful. That when we come to him, we're repenting, we're forsaking our sins, he's faithful. He's going to forgive us our sins. You ever had somebody come to you after they had wronged you again and again and again and again, and you're like, how many times? I mean, we grow weary. And I know the apostle that came to Christ, and he said, how many times can I forgive my brother? 7 times in a day? He said, not unto thee 7 times, but 70 times 7. Now, obviously, Christ didn't mean it at 500 or, you know, 491, that's it, we're done. But he was just saying to be forgiving to them over and over and over again because that's God's faithfulness towards us. That's not our faithfulness that we often show towards one another, but that is God's faithfulness to us. And I am glad he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So what does faithfulness mean? We know it means loyalty. We know it means adhering closely to either a person or a cause or something like that. We can understand the dictionary definition of it. But turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Using comparison and contrast, we can understand what faithfulness means in the Bible. And really, it can mean different things. Proverbs chapter 14. It has different connotations, different, I guess, nuances to it. About faithfulness. And we learn that by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Proverbs 14 and look down at verse 5. Proverbs 14 and verse 5. He says, a faithful witness will not lie. Okay? The faithful witness will not lie. And then he says, but a false witness will utter lies. So what's a faithful witness? Someone who's going to tell the truth, no matter what. They're going to be faithful to tell the truth. They're not going to beat around the bush. They're not going to try and please you, but they're going to tell you the truth. Sometimes that truth is hurtful, but that's telling you got to tell the truth in love. But a faithful witness is someone who tells the truth. That's why you shouldn't tell people, oh, well, I think you're good enough to get to heaven. That's not a faithful witness. That's a false witness who utters lies. That's telling them that they can get to heaven some other way. A faithful witness, he says here in verse 12, verse 5, he said, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Look at chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27. So someone who is faithful in telling the truth. They're an honest person. Proverbs chapter 27, and look at verse 6. He says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now that goes right back to a faithful witness. Somebody talking to you, being honest with you. Now sometimes we don't like the honesty of friends because they are brutally honest. But that's what you want, right? He said there again in 27 verse 6, he says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now we ought to be thankful if we have faithful friends that tell it like it is and say, listen, you really messed up here, or you shouldn't do this, or you have this tendency, and we're like, ah, we don't like it, we recoil from it, we might not even like them for a time, but listen, that is a faithful friend. And he says they're faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds. A lot of times it hurts because they're being brutally honest with us, but that's okay, that's what we need, and we should desire that. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. So if someone is faithful, is honest, brutally honest at times, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Now, again, he's using comparison and contrast. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. So that's someone who's proud, who's self-righteous, who's looking to self. He said, but a faithful man who can find? So in contrast to that, a faithful man is someone who's not looking to himself, who's not proclaiming his own goodness, who's not self-righteous, proud, and lifted up, but they are humble. They're trusting in the Lord. They're faithful to God in that sense, humble and not boasting. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Just a couple more on this thought and kind of identifying what faithfulness is in the Bible. And you can take all these, someone who's honest, someone who's humble, someone who's reliable, some of the things we're going to look at, that applies to all those people that we are looking at. Moses, David, Daniel, Abraham, the Lord, obviously. Proverbs chapter 11, and look at verse 12. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. He says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. So here's somebody who does not have wisdom. It says, but a man of am I in the right spot? Yeah, that's right. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. And then he says, a talebearer, someone who's gossiping, spreading rumors, revealeth secrets, but he that is of a what? Faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now that can go a couple ways. It can be someone who's faithful to their friends, faithful to keep secrets. I mean, the internet, man, that is the place where gossip is spread and started and just everything. But to keep a secret. You ever had somebody say, hey, can you keep a secret? And you're thinking, I can't wait to what? Yeah. Tell somebody. That's what it feels like sometimes. But he said, listen, a faithful person, you can keep those secrets. You can hold that in and wait till the time is right. Someone that is not necessarily a gossip, but just not telling people everything about everybody. And I know that might be enjoyable, but there are times that we need to refrain from that. Look at that again, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12 again. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. And then likewise, he said, a talebearer revealeth secrets. What? About his neighbor. But he that is of a faithful spirit, compared to the man that's holding his peace, concealeth the matter. So a faithful man can be somebody who's not a gossip. They don't talk a lot. They keep their mouth shut. They're quiet in that sense. Now look at Luke chapter 16. One more place on this. Luke chapter 16. Nothing wrong with, and I don't know if I've prayed this, but nothing wrong with saying, God, help me to be faithful, and praying that. Say, God, make me a faithful person. Listen, whether they say it or not, I guarantee you people notice when you're faithful. They notice your car here on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings at the camp meeting. They notice when people come and show up at a place, you know, often, and they're faithful to that. It does make a impression upon people when they see that. Luke chapter 16, Luke 16, and look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So what he's talking about here is being faithful with money in particular, but he's saying that you are reliable, you are trustworthy. So a faithful person is someone who's trustworthy, they're reliable, they're not a gossip, they're humble, they're not boastful, and they're honest. Just by the Bible definitions, we can see what faithfulness is that we need in our lives. Now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now today people would say, why be faithful? Because, you know, what's it get me? I know in corporate America anyway, you know, it used to be that if a man was faithful to you, that it held a lot of stock there, and so that company was faithful to people that were loyal to him. And that's often not the case today. They're looking at the bottom line, they're looking at the numbers, they're looking at the profit, and I get that from a business perspective. But faithfulness in today's economy doesn't hold a lot of sway with the world, but it still does with God. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and look at verse 24. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. It says, faithful is he that calleth you, that's God, who also will what?
Do it.
In other words, God, if we're going to stick with God, we're going to be faithful to God. The Bible says God is faithful, not only to call you to a certain task or whatever it might be, he's also going to do it. You say, what's in it for me, God, if I'm faithful? And I'm not saying that we have that attitude, but when we're faithful to the Lord, he's going to bring it to pass and help us to accomplish the thing that he calls us to do. He says, you're going to be faithful to me, I will be faithful to you, and I will help you to do that thing. But we got to trust in the Lord. We know that many of the saints, Old Testament saints that we read about, that they go through some amazingly tough things, but they're faithful to that. One of the examples I was going to use this morning, so you'll just pretend like you didn't hear it next time I use it. I think it was, not Sir Edmund Hillary, I think it was Sir Walter Scott. And he was he died at 61, I think in 1832, if I got my things right. And he had invested in a publishing company, and it went horribly bankrupt. And at that time, this is when he was 56, so that would have been about 1856, somewhere in there, or not, 1832 minus 6. Yeah, around 1856, he was in debt approximately $500,000. Now, in our economy, that would be $15.7 million that he was in debt. Now, he had the option, even back then in the 1800s, to declare bankruptcy. You know what he said? He said, I'm not going to do it. He said, my goal is to be faithful, to pay off my debt by the time I die. Now, I don't know if he accomplished that in the next 6 years. But here was a man that said, I'm just going to be faithful to doing what rightfully is mine to do, what I need to owe, rather than just saying, no, I'm going to let somebody else take that. And I know there's cases where that is the right thing to do, but he was faithful to that. And that kind of attitude and that kind of moxie or whatever you might want to call it, that is a rare thing today. Somebody that's saying, I'm willing to be faithful, even to a bad thing, to just see it through. And if I don't get it done by the time I die, then so be it, but I'll stick to it. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter, I'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So he says, faithful is he that calleth you who will do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And they'd say it's all based upon God being faithful. But if we're faithful to God, he will establish us, he will keep us, and he will help us to do the things that he's called us to do. Now, faithful, just kind of for fun, we're almost done here. Faithful, when you look up the word faithful, or I think faithfulness, in the book of Revelation, it shows up in chapters 1 through 3 of Revelation. where it's talking about to the church of the, you know, the church of Ephesus, the church of Corinth, the church of Smyrna, and all the churches in Revelation chapter 1 through 3, faithful shows up several times. And then in Revelation chapter 4, of course, we know prophetically that the rapture happens. You don't see the word faithful in any form show up again until Revelation chapter 17. Go ahead and turn there. Revelation chapter 17. Because you see, when we're in heaven, it's not a choice to be faithful. We have the choice today to be faithful, and that is pleasing to God. And so Revelation 1 through 3, we see faithful show up a number of times. Nothing from Revelation 4:1 until Revelation chapter 17, and look at verse 14. This is the next place it shows up after Revelation chapter 3, 17:14. And he saith unto me, 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him. Who's that? That's us as Christians when we come back on white horses. And they that are with him are called chosen and what? Faithful. Faithfulness should be a mark of the New Testament Christian. That should be what people see in us. Again, whether it's at our job, even a bad job. I know some people in here that have employers that are not so great, but you've been faithful there, and that's a good thing. If you're self-employed, your boss is a jerk, you know, be faithful to that. Just whatever it may be. But they want to see that faithfulness in Christians. And that faithfulness, that will generate some curiosity in them. Say, what is it in them that makes him a good worker, he or she a good worker? What makes he or she, you know, stick with these things, even in a bad situation? They are faithful. And so that will make an impression on people. But it's interesting that when it's talking about the churches, which apply to different ages and things like that, where the church of Laodicea is the age now, and you see faithful show up in there. The churches are gone. There's no more faithfulness. When you see all the chapters on the tribulation, but Revelation 17, when we come back with Christ, faithful shows up again. So that one's just kind of fun. Now turn to two more places with me. Turn to 2 John. So back just a little bit. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Just keep whatever situation you're in, just keep sticking it out, keep muddling through. Because I think it won't be very long that we're here anymore on this earth. Hopefully, I'd like to see the rapture happen, and it might not be in our lifetime. I can't imagine things continuing to get worse at the rate they're going, but stay faithful, regardless of what happens. 2 John chapter 1, and look at verse 4. And he that saith, let me see, no, I'm in 1 John. 2 John 1, and verse 4, well, it's all chapter 1. 2 John verse 4, he said, I rejoiced greatly, he said here, that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. You know what he said? They were faithful. He said, when I found them, they were still walking in truth. They were faithful to what the way I started and what I wanted them to do. Look at it again, 3 John, and also verse 4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now he's talking about spiritual children. But the gist of it is, he said, they were faithful. They stuck with it. Now listen, churches, by and large, are not going to be growing bigger and bigger. Now I'm glad we have visitors here. We've had people come, and that's great. But don't get discouraged if that's not the norm. Don't get discouraged as things maybe people fall off here and there. Listen, just stay faithful. You say, what should I do? Just stay faithful. Just keep coming to church, keep reading your Bible, keep serving the Lord, keep doing what He wants you to do, and stay faithful to Him. Let's pray. Lord, I am so glad that You are a faithful God, that You are a faithful Creator. God, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And Lord, just thank You for abiding by us and sticking by us, even in the times that maybe we don't feel like sticking by You, or maybe we've drawn back from witnessing, or from giving the gospel, and that we're not a faithful witness all the time. We're maybe not a faithful as a Christian, or whatever the case may be. Thank You for Your faithfulness towards us, and help us to remain faithful to You. God, in these difficult times that are surely to just get worse, help us to remain faithful. God, guide us in these times, and help us by Your grace and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing page 319.